Allah bless your time inshallah. It's a Mubarak night. Allah give us tawfiq and participate inshallah.
We recite the Surah Al-Zumar. And interestingly, Allah describes the Jannah is alive at Jannah. And as they arrive, Allah says, وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. And the doors of Jannah are already open. The doors of Jannah are already open. So when Allah mentions the Jahannamis, Allah says they arrive at Jahannam, جَاؤُهَا فُتِحَتْ. At that time the doors open. When it comes to the Jannatis, before they arrive, the doors are slammed open already. When it comes to the Jahannamis, when they arrive there, that's when the doors open. And the difference in the expression is just the waw. When Allah speaks of the Jannati, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. When it comes to the Jahannami, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. That this expression is different just due to the one waw that comes. Why the doors are open for the Jannati? Because Jannah is welcoming the visit, the recipient of Jannah, the guest in Jannah, and the resident in Jannah. Because the Jannati, yes, is Allah's guest, as we read the verses today. Nuzulan min Ghafoor Rahim. This is hospitality from Allah, but He is the resident there. And He's treated with so much of love and respect, even better than any guest. Allah give us tawfiq, Allah make it. We arrive in Jannah and the doors are slammed open. Futihat and then futihat, futihat means the doors are slammed open out of love for the Jannah. To such an extent that as He comes out from His grave, the hadith says that he's put onto a conveyance. And this conveyance is so beautiful. And the conveyance asks him, you don't know who I am. He says, well, I don't know. As the conveyance is taking him into Jannah with great speed, this rider of his is telling him, you know, all your life I rode on you. Now you ride on me. And he said, you never introduce yourself. He says, I am your actions, your good deeds, I am your nama amal, your good deeds, your amal. Why, wherever you went in the world, you prioritized. My salah must be in order. Allah's order must be upheld. Allah's deen must be upheld. My tilawa must take place. My dhikrullah must take place. Any opportunity to serve humanity, that must be upheld. So in every different way, you upheld me, which is your amal, I wrote of you. Now you will lie with me. So it's even the most exquisite. Rolls Royce is nothing. What these VIPs go with the latest technology of using everybody's money, even that too, that is nothing. This is BBBB million times IP. Very, very special. Very, very special. Very, very important. Because it's a Jannati. That's why, wa futihat abwaabuha. The doors are open. To such an extent that in his palace in Jannah, the servant rushes to his Fur'een, his wife. تَسْتَخِفُهَا الْفَرْحَةِ. She's so happy, she's elated. She comes out of the palace. She comes out of the balcony. Is it really him? Does he come? Is it really him? And now he's escorted. Allah explains in the Quran that he doesn't need an escort. He knows his way already. Even though Jannah is so huge, your Jannah, even the lowest Jannah is bigger than 10 times this world. But still he doesn't need a guy who knows his entire portfolio. He knows his entire property. In dunya, after so many years of purchasing the property, we're not sure where it starts. Where's the landmark? Where it starts? Where it ends? What difficulty? There in Jannah, without any guide, without any worry for maintenance, it is solved. The person arrives. But still, there's a butler to bring him. And as he escorts him right to his palace, he's given the most warm welcome ever in his life. To such an extent that the last Jannah he enters Jannah. And as he arrives in Jannah, he just gets there. He sees such a pleasurable Jannah. So Allah says, oh, this is yours. And as he's enjoying this Jannah, he's pleased by seeing this beautiful Jannah. Another level of Jannah is opened up. So then he says, oh Allah, but you gave me this one, I want that one. Paradise. Jannah is paradise. This word jim and nun in Arabic is used most of the time for what can't be seen with the physical eye. Like in the mother's womb, the janin. The fetus is called Janin, Jim and Noon in there. A shield in Arabic is Mijan, Jim and Noon. Jannah means a thicket of gardens, not of trees. So if we translate it as paradise, but that's where the word comes from, Jannah. And Majnoon is someone who lost it a couple of senses. So you can, it looks normal, but Kapala sense is gone. So Majnoon, the word comes from there. Jim and Noon. You find Jim and Noon, something is hidden in that phrase. And another one is also Jinnat, Jin. Jin, you can't see them with the physical eye. There also there's Jin and Noon. You can't see them with the physical eye. Here now he asks Allah for the second level. So Allah says, you said you won't ask for more. He says, Allah, I promise you, after this time I won't ask you for more. So Allah gives him the second level. فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ مُعْجَبٌ بِمَا هُوَ فِيهِ. He's astonished by this exquisite paradise. It's beyond what he can ever fathom. More beautiful than what he ever saw in this world. Most beautiful scenery, the palaces, the pleasures, the rivers, the splendor, the luxury, the amenities. And as he's enjoying, he doesn't know where to start. He's so elated and overjoyed. Then another river is open. As he sees the third river, to understand this hadith, Abdullah bin Mas'ud was in the next hadith. You have to analyze it with your little child, you know, a little boy, a little girl. You offer him a little sweet, you know. But don't give children sweets too much, it's not good for their health. Why? Don't eat in front of them. You should also cut down and give them what is healthy for them. We think now we want to see them, enjoy them, but actually harming them. That's why Muslim wasn't overdoing. Allah gave us to be to do what's best for them. We must eat healthy and feed our children from young what is healthy. Allah give us to feed. Now you see the child, give him a little sweet. As he's about to take it, see his eyes light up. Because he's overjoyed now. Especially this is a child who appreciates sweets. Now we give the child, how much of sweets? Then he doesn't, he won't understand this. Because he got too much of it, he doesn't appreciate it. Because he got everything. Even giving our children everything is not good for that child. Tomorrow when he can't have what he wants, tomorrow that daughter of mine and your daughter, she gets married in a home where she can't have what she wants. Her father and mother ruined her. That boy, maybe Allah took it away from his father. Maybe Allah took it away. He doesn't have what his father had. But every luxury is yours. Have it. The latest technology. The fastest cars. Anything you want. All the gadgets. His own. He's a small twit. But he must fly first class. He's a small brat. But he must have his whole thing in his own home. In his own room. Big own home. Own room. What he ends up bringing. On that same gadgets. Tomorrow when he can't have it. What else? That's when drugs come in. Starts with dhaka. Why is that? Depressed. Starts with vape, then starts with cigarettes, and then drugs, and then crystal meth, and then every sort of button, all kinds of. Where it started? Mother and father think, oh no, everything must be given. Buy, give Allah's deen, buy, give Allah's deen. That's what it is. That's what it is. Allah gives us the gift. As this child is, as this jannati enjoys what he sees in front. That's what ulama say. Don't deprive him of everything. But from 10 demands of our children, give them 3 or 4. Don't give them everything. No, what my child wants must go. Then we want to reprimand the wife in front of the child. As though the child, what the child says, goes. No such thing. Husband and wife are partners in the correction and the upliftment and the tarbiyat of the children. They are not opposing each other. They have to work together that this child's akhirat must be made. This child's akhlaq must be corrected. This child must be a good insan, not a hayawan. Allah give us tawfiq. Now, the second level of Jannah, Allah gives it. So, as I was giving you the example, you offer him a stock sweet. Then you show him one big chocolate. As you see his eyes light up, and you give him the small sweet. Then you pull away that one and you give him this one. He doesn't want this one anymore, he wants the bigger one. He wants the big chocolate. He's demanding that one. So, here this Jannati is demanding the third level. This repeatedly happens 4 times. This hadith states as he reaches the 4th level of Jannah, he now sees a huge, beautiful creation in front of him. He's so shocked and overawed by this creation, he's about to fall in sajda and this person stops him. What are you doing? He says, you are so elated and enlightened, so bright, so nurani. Aren't you my lord? He says, no. I am your one servant. I'm your butler. I'm one out of 1,000. We're in charge of your 1,000 palaces. Each one 1 year distance of the other. Allah gives you the ability to see the furthest, like you can see the closest. Today in this dunya, a person circled and bought something very far away. Okay, somehow, or you want to see what's happening far in the world, you can see. But in Jannah, Allah gives you full That's why it's not worth it. Envying someone who has whatever pleasure in this world, it's short-lived. Don't envy it. Envy the hafiz of the Quran. Envy these ones. See? Envy the alim of deen who understands Quran. Envy the person who is serving Allah's deen, striving in the path of Allah. He's carrying his badge, being in the path of Allah. Envy that person. That is going with him to akhirat. Envy that person who is prioritizing whatever he earns, whatever he can, he invests in the after. Envy that person. Don't envy the things of this world. It is but a deception. Allah give us. Now, from years, he's escorted to a palace. This palace is made of one pearl. It's huge, it's humongous, but it's one pearl. Not brick that cracks and ruptures in between. It's one pearl in line with red. That pearl leads to another pearl in line with yellow. And that one leads to another that has a green lining inside. And this hadith describes what is in that pearl. Yeah. Whatever you can imagine falls short to the pleasures and amenities and luxuries and every wish fulfilled in this palace Allah gives. And this is but the last jannah. The hadith says, Allah says, let me tell you about one hura, one hudaim. So dazzling that when he sees her, such purity that his reflection is seen on her chest. That's such purity. Allah give us the faith. It's not you worth it now to describe the details and so forth. That we have a private gathering, you know. Sometimes we're sitting in Darul Uloom at night, and you come, the youth, we can share that with you. But now we have to discuss a few other ayats. Among the ayats here, beloved brothers, among the ayats here, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, is, subhanAllah, is in the Surah Zumar, Allah addresses His servants, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, O my bandu, O my servants, so much of them, يَا عِبَادِي, those who have transgressed upon their souls. Allah says, لَا تَقْنَطُوا بِالرَّحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah is addressing the sinner. You and I. Allah says, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. When we read this verse, subhanAllah, we understand, like it is haram to drink alcohol, like it is haram to miss salah, like it is haram to neglect zakat, like it is haram to commit adultery, like theft is haram, it is also haram to become despondent in the mercy of Allah. It is also haram to utter or feel that Allah will never forgive me. That thought is haram. That statement is haram. Read this verse, and I would love you to go home. Read this verse in Surah Al-Zumar. Allah. And as a background of this verse, Hazrat Umar had few sa'atis. It was the time of Hijrah, which was the time of migration. And Muslims were leaving Makkah to go to Medina. Are they leaving everything, lock, stock, and barrel? Not for greener pastures, for Allah's deen. They loved Makkah. But they are going because deen is, there's a hindrance upon their deen there. Because they can't practice their deen and they can't give dawat. The Meccans don't want dawat at all. Ulama mentioned here, they had to leave Makkah Mukarramah for deen. And most of them left everything. Hazrat Umar had an agreement with two friends of his. Remember the names, I'll just give you the first part of the name. Ayyash and Hisham. We meet at Bani Adat. Vicinity they were supposed to meet at, but the deal was whoever makes it, makes it. Whoever doesn't make it, the others had to carry on because it was volatile times. Conditions were really, really severe and difficult. Anyway, the next day, only the two of them make it, Umar and Ayyash from this group. Hisham couldn't make it. Now, what happened was there were 20 others who also joined them in another rewire, but the one who was from the first agreement didn't make it. His name was Hisham. Anyway, the two of them carry on. And a few others join them en route. As they carry on, they journey, leaving everything. Allah said, whatever they could carry, they carried. Besides that, they couldn't take much. Finally, they get to Quba. Who they see behind them? Ayyash's brother. Imagine was Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl and Harith were two brothers. And Ayyash was the third brother from the same mother. Abu Jahl made an agreement with all the Meccans. Any of your relatives making hijrah, you stop them by any means possible. Imagine Abu Jahl, what the force of Baqir is prepared to do to stop a person from Islam. Abu Jahl undertakes this journey. He gets right to Quba, the West Quba, just outside Medina Munawwara. He meets his brother Ayyash, and he is all smiling, you know, Ayyash, you know what? We must give you the respect. You know, Abu Jahl had his way. He could be cruel when he wanted to, and he had a very sweet, sweet tongue when he wanted to. He was, you know, a real politician. Now he's convincing Ayyash, you have to come back. Ayyash says, what? My iman is private, I'm not coming back. Abu Jahl used another strategy. You know our mother? Your mother, anybody melts at the mention of mother. He's telling him, see, your mother is so upset, you left. Your mother took a vow. She won't eat, she won't drink, she won't take shelter. You have to come back. Ayyash is thinking, my mother, you now have to go. Hazrat Umar is noticing, Ayyash is succumbing to the enticement of Abu Jahl, as Umar calls him. He says, brother, mother is important, iman is more important. Mother is important, iman is more important. Hazrat Umar knew that this man is going to go back, there's going to be trials concerning his iman. Stay here, make your iman strong, your mother will eat, don't worry. Just don't. Rasulullah said, make the hijrah, don't go back. Hazrat Umar understood the situation. You have to analyze, mother is very, very important. But we have to understand where iman is more important. If mother says something contrary to Allah's order, mother, we obey, but Allah comes first. Allah is even before mother. Mother is important. Allah is before mother and father. So we listen to mother, and Allah says clearly in the Quran, if mother and father say something contrary to Allah's order, Allah comes first. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Umar tries to explain this to Ayyash. Ayyash says, no, I have to go. Then he also says, you know what, I'll go. I'll kill two birds, one stone, there's so much of money, investments there. They're going to take it. I'll bring it one day. As long as they don't have money, he says, I carried lots. Whatever I carried, half is yours. Just don't go back. As long as he carried his lifetime savings, his entire box of money was carried. He carried, he managed to carry it, Look what he was prepared to do for one person's life. What about you and me? Can we take 10 minutes extra to go pick up that brother, bring him to masjid? Few times a week. We can't do that. Bring him for Jum'ah. Take him home for lunch. If we can't, buy him one biryani and send it with him. It won't make us poorer. But it's giving time to save one person's iman. The same person working with us in our offices. We can't, he's working for us for the last 20 years. We can't use the influence Allah gave us over him. As Umar said, you take half, don't go. He said, no, I have to go. As Umar said, okay, what do you do? See, my karma is docile, obedient, submissive. Take mine. If you notice anything fishy and doubtful in Abu Jahl, you escape on mine in an easy way. He says, okay. He takes, imagine you tell a man, take my car. Camel was more valuable. Take mine. You're giving man your car for his iman. Allah Akbar. He goes, see what Sahaba were prepared to do to take one person's iman. He goes, as they're returning, Abu Jahl trips him, hey, what a lovely camel you got, this, that. He says, yeah, come try it. He gets on to try it. He grabs his brother, both the two pounce on Ayyash, and they tie him up, they take him into Makkah, they lock him up in the dungeon. We were mentioning to the brothers in Zerab, would Sahabi used to go to Makkah and save the Sahaba who were tied and locked up in the dungeon? Hazrat Marzan. But Ayyash didn't do so much of the difficulty. Did Hazrat Umar give up on his sati? Hazrat Umar used to write letters to him. And the main letter that inspired him greatly was these ayats here. Qul ya ibadah, I'm telling you to read that entire page. Hazrat Umar wrote that in his letter. This man read that letter. Him and Hisham, the other one, Hisham who didn't make it. He was also put into the dungeon. And he also felt Allah will never forgive me. He read these ayats here. Oh, wait. Alhamdulillah. Allah's Nabi made dua for them in qunut. Dua qunut. Alhamdulillah, they made it into Madina Munawwara. That is Surah Zumar. Then, in 1 or 2 minutes, Hamim Sajda. Hamim Biraj to Al-Mu'min. What does Al-Mu'min mean? Al-Mu'min. Al-Mu'min means the believer. The chapter is named after a believer. Which believer? His name was Hizqi. Who was he? He was in the time of Musa alayhi salam, when Fir'aun was threatening the life of Musa alayhi salam. So this is chapter 41. Sorry, chapter 40. Chapter 40, in the sequence of Revelation 60. So all these Hamids, you see there, 39, this is 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, all have the same river that we're reading now. This is 40, the first Hamid, but Zumar is very similar in sequence, some added in the Hawamid, in the Hamid. So this is 40, and verse 28, remembering the verse, because I want you to read it, I can't go into the detail. From verse 28 to verse 45, 3 pages of the Quran, Hafiz have read it. 3 pages. What is the whole discussion? In the court of the Pharaoh, when Musa's life was threatened, a man stood up and he gave da'wat. The whole da'wat an ordinary man, not a Nabi, gave. Quran details, 3 pages of the Quran highlights how he gave da'wat. Brothers, you read this, it becomes clear to you. There's nothing that Allah loves more than da'wat. This is in the story. Then the next chapter I mentioned to you during the Taraweeh. Here we can express it because it comes clear in these verses. How much Allah loves when a man gives da'wat. Allah details. Then in the next chapter we read, Hamim Sajda. Allah tells us himself, who can be better than the da'i and what can be better than da'wat? That is chapter 41, verse, that's also verse 29. So the previous chapter is verse 28. This one starts from verses 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. So both these chapters, look at under the same verses. And I finish with this. This last chapter, Hamim Sajda, when Allah speaks of 10 qualities of a da'i and how much Allah loves da'wat, this comes after the verse that speaks of dying with iman. So verses 27 says, how will we die with iman? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. The next verse says, give da'wat. As though the verse is telling us, if you want to die with iman, you have to give da'wat. Allah give us the answer. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.